Yes, good morning. This is Brother Marlon here again. What a beautiful morning here in PA. The storm kept through last night. Everything has been cooled off this morning, and stars are out bright. It reminds me of the mercies of the Lord. Anyway, this morning I have came across an article that I found was very interesting. It's very true. And basically what it showed to me is, are we as Americans ready for what's coming? I know we live in a soft America. Seems like life is easy for us, even though we think it's hard sometimes. But we can see the way the world is going. These revelations, it warns us what is coming. But my concern is, have we become too soft? Are we going to be able to endure what some of our fellow Christians are enduring at this time in other countries? I'm going to read this article, and you take it as a challenge to your own heart, to evaluate your own life, and consider your life before the Lord. I read this article. It's, atheism are all the rage, or they're all rage. Frankly, it's not as if it's anything new. Living in the United States, which in recent years has seen a dramatic upswing in public anti-Christian actions, believers in Christ often are unfamiliar with what life is like for Christians in many other parts of the world. And that's what I was talking about earlier. We don't realize. Some of us realize, but we don't actually realize. Some of us know about it, but we don't actually realize what's happening in other countries for the Christians and what they're going through. As many Christians are dying for their faith, and it's not, people are not finding out about them. In some places, Christians are in physical danger, even facing possible death. And living their beliefs. I have a Christian Pakistani friend who told me that to convert to Christianity in his country is courting death if he or she is publicly baptized. And I know we're getting down close to where the plane circles. This is right around the time that they'll be baptized and there's no use. And if you stop to think about, you know, there might be 200, I don't know how many are getting baptized. But are they sincere enough? Are they just being baptized just because it's the thing to do? Or are they sincere enough that if they know that they could be facing death right now because of their public baptism, would they get baptized? And people, it happens. People in other countries are still getting baptized. Here in the United States, it's obviously famous. But it also seems as if another new group pops up daily to oppose prayer in public venues, crosses on federal land, or something else Christian-related that offends these champions of tolerance. And remember that word tolerance, because he brings an interesting thing out about tolerance later. Folks, we need to be of a good cheer. It doesn't mean we have to be silent, even hide, or we have to say who we are, what we believe, or in whom we have placed our faith. We just can't expect to be congratulated. Frankly, there isn't much in the New Testament that tells us a hearty attaboy, or you go girl, is in the cards for Christian living in a secular world. Let me put it in another way. The world hates you. Keep in mind that it hated you first. Those are Jesus' words. These are the words of our Lord, as recorded in John 15:18. If you're looking for an applause in the world, from the world for proclaiming our faith in Christ, it's like searching for a glacier in a tropical rainforest. And that's so true. Are we willing to stand alone? That has been a challenge to my own heart since I've read this article. Am I willing to stand alone? It's important for Christians to recognize that many of our fellow countrymen will test, try, and condemn us for following New Testament principles, even as the same critics seek ways to be tolerant of non-Christian faith. And that's so true. Many times we see it. You know, they're not very tolerant of Christians, but they're sure tolerant with any other religion that comes along. But yeah, it's definitely the way that we as a world are going, the way the United States is going. We're often told that respecting cultural and religious identities of non-Christians is part of American heritage and freedom. However, the same people who say such things often turn around and denounce Christians for trying to live by New Testament principles. We know this is happening. We see it. We know that people who are doing it know they're doing it. They don't care. And there's nothing we can do about it. Actually, that's not correct. We can follow Christ's teaching. Blessed are you when people insult you. And this is taken out of the Amplified Version. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of you. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you, Matthew 5, 11, and 12. We probably agree that being insulted, persecuted, having evil said of us falsely is not fun. There are moments when our pride is hurt or our emotions are inflamed. But we have to remember this commandment of Christ. You have heard that it has been said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, sends rain on the righteous and on the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward would you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than others? Do not even the pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. And that's Matthew 5, 4, 43 to 48. The Lord did not make it easy. And again, that's taken out of the Amplified Version there, Matthew 5. But it brings out a lot of things, you know, things that we read, things that we're very familiar with. But sometimes I think we're too familiar with them that we forget them. About to love our enemies, to bless them that curse you, good to them that hate you. The Lord did not make it easy for us. That is, if we try to live like Him in our own strength, that's why the Holy Spirit was sent to us, to enable us to love the person we'd like to punch in the nose, or put him in his face with defiant, aimed, verbal darts. None of this means that we have to be like a bunch of cows just moving around along in a compliant herd as a butcher comes to tear us up. We cannot and must not surrender our principles. This will become even more important as the skies grow increasingly dark. If early Christians showed anything, they showed courage. In a world that banned their faith, threw them to the line, and nailed the Son of God to the cross, the early Christians stood firm. Some of them became martyrs, enduring to the end. We need to stand firm for our Lord. We're on the solid rock. Besides, if we believe in Him, it's not as if we have or want a choice. I'm not trying to be a gloomy gust here. It's reality. When the moment comes that we're challenged, there's a very safe place to go, and we find it declared in Matthew 14:27 when the disciples were great fear. But Lord spoke to them at once. But Jesus spoke to them at once. Don't be afraid. He said, take courage. I am here. Take courage, friends. Here today, and article has been very challenging to me about not being afraid to stand alone and to be able to love our neighbors or love our enemies, bless them and curse you, be good to them, I hate you, prepare my own heart for the coming of when the Christians will not be liked here in the United States. That day is coming. It's been very clear to me for a long time, but that day is coming, and it's coming closer and closer. Well, God bless you, and have a wonderful day.